A small profit for CLC in the first half of the current financial year versus a massive 7.6 billion rand loss over the same period last year. It's grown prepaid customers to nearly 10 million and still earns the same amount from each one as it did from a smaller number of subscribers last year. That's the beautifully named ARPU, or average revenue per user number. The chief executive of CLC is Douglas Craigie Stevenson, on the line to us from Johannesburg this evening. And usually when customer numbers grow, the average revenue per customer falls, but you seem to be getting a bit more picky in terms of who it is that you serve and will serve, Douglas.
Good evening, Bruce. Thank you. No, I don't think we're being picky. I just think we're being more realistic about making sure that the acquisition cost is spent right, that the network quality is better. And I think that a lot of the customers that are always loyal and with us have started to increase their spend. So they have definitely contributed to keeping the ARPU higher. And then the new customers coming onto the base certainly is in line with our strategy to make sure that we bring on customers that we can service properly and that are wanting to be on our network for all our reasons.
When we look at it, I mean, the big drop in operational expenditure, you're growing customer numbers, you've seen a massive drop in operational expenditure. You're down by about 25% to 1.7 billion rand. It does look like you're becoming a bit like an Airbnb or an Uber in that you don't want to own your own infrastructure. You want to rather use other people's infrastructure to put your traffic across. Is that a fair comparison?
Actually, quite likely a comparison to Airbnb that doesn't own hotels or Uber that doesn't own taxis. Certainly, we had always stated that we could never catch up the CapEx race, and so we were never going to spend money in the radio access network. So we virtualized the radio access network, and you may have remembered I'd said that at the beginning of the year we moved into the new model. We've migrated about 40% of the sites over, and it's given us a much stronger advantage in the sense that by virtualizing the infrastructure, we don't have to carry the infrastructure costs. We still keep our main assets, our customers, our spectrum, our brand, but we're now in a position to be able to offer the same ubiquitous coverage and quality of service that we were never able to do before. And so that's been a lot of the network strategy's agenda, and within the next 24 months, we will have like-for-like coverage of the two big operators with the same type of service. And what is happening in the industry is you're getting a clear segmentation between infrastructure suppliers and the providers and the buyers of the infrastructure or the aggregators of the infrastructure, which needs to work with our spectrum.
And so then the batteries at the base of every base station become the problem then of your service provider, whether it be Vodacom or MTN. Have to worry about load shedding and batteries being stolen. You make it the problem of that service provider. But, I mean, still, load shedding has got to affect signal quality. We're in stage four this evening. I see Pravin Gordhan is hosting a media briefing at 6:30 this evening, which we will take live as we can and as it starts. It's frustrating for all of us. How are you being affected by repeated and extended load shedding?
So at a technical level, obviously the network grid will get affected by core backhaul and certain of the fiber connectivity as we're still going through the transition phase of that. We've still got to maintain generation for our core network, for our switching gear, for some of the controllers and the like. So it does definitely have an impact on us. And even with our service providers, one must remember that the industry itself has not catered for stage 4, 5, and 6 load shedding. Most of the base stations, and you'll hear the other operators say so, you know, we cater for 4 hours of load shedding in a day. It doesn't give enough time for the batteries to recharge. So it's a very difficult situation that we find ourselves in. But your point is well made. But certainly from the aspect of worrying about batteries and site security, that doesn't sit in our remit anymore by the time we fully transitioned.
So, I mean, when we look at CLC in the future, you will then rent the infrastructure, you will put your traffic across that infrastructure, and you will then bill, but without the overheads. I mean, that is the business model of CLC's current future.
In essence, it is that. So, I mean, we have substituted the capital expenditure cost for an operational expenditure cost. And so you'll see a slightly different EBITDA number come from us when we fully transitioned. But in essence, what we are not doing is continual maintenance within the network. We're not wanting to own the infrastructure. We don't have the capital forecasting requirement as in having to build networks for the future. And it's going to get more complicated when 5G comes on board as well. So really, we use our spectrum asset over that infrastructure, and that's how we're able to provide the services. And our investment will be far less, but it's going to be in the platforms that will be customer-enhancing and a part of the digital collaboration journey that we talk about in our transition to a tech co.
Douglas Craigie Stevenson, Chief Executive at Cell C, the Uber of South African cell phone providers. Back to Brendan Ryan, mining journalist at miningmax.com. And that big story today, Brendan Ryan, who's been hit by load shedding like everyone else, but the interest of Impala Platinum in Royal Bafokeng Platinum. It looks like the market's incredibly excited about this deal. Royal Bafokeng up more than 20% on the day. Is it a deal that, from your experience, makes sense?
Bruce, it looks like a good deal. Impala has been after those assets ever since World Bafokeng was created, and it makes a lot of sense for them because the Bafokeng assets are contiguous with Impala's Rustenburg lease mines, and they're a lot younger and a lot shallower than Impala's existing mines, which has been Impala's huge problem there. They've got a number of very deep, old, high-cost shafts, which they were closing down. And this would give them a new leaf of life at a higher profit margin in that region.
It's an exciting transaction. Is it a transaction that requires regulatory approval? Does the Competition Commission get involved in all of this? Because we know that Royal Bafokeng has got good empowerment credentials. Is Impala adequately empowered in order to do this deal? We've seen deals blocked before.
You're asking me a question I can't really answer. I don't know enough about the situation. But, the Royal Bafokeng Nation have been Impala's Black Economic Empowerment Partner for, 15, 20 years. The two are very close. And assuming this deal will be an all-share deal, the Royal Army Platts, and therefore the Bafokeng Nation, will end up with a healthy chunk of Impala's share capital. So they would be the empowerment partner.
And that has got to be seen as a positive. Thank you, Brendan Ryan. Not a great phone line there. Mining journalist at miningmax.com.